that's what this series is about, meeting Jesus. It's okay to sing this stuff, but how do we know him? How do we meet him? How do we follow him day by day? But first, I need to say that it's good to be back. I'm grateful for a long break over Christmas, but I was slightly disturbed by the behavior of Maybridge Community Church whilst I was away. Christmas Day seems to have gone just slightly haywire, and I was sent a number of very concerning emails this week with different people in the church family basically stitching each other up. I blame the youth workers for that one. But the one that caused me most concern was undoubtedly... So, to a church like that, where do you start on a series with meeting Jesus? Well, I want to... here, it's with the passage that we read,
that the start of the service. The words are familiar, but oh, how we must not let the familiarity rob us of the truth of them. So, over Christmas, we were looking at the birth of Jesus. But what did the Bible say about all that's wrapped up in who Jesus is?
Let me read these words.
Of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible or invisible. Whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things in heaven or things on earth, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established in faith, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the person that you're saying, and it is good news. So this morning, I want to reframe the familiar. It's important to reframe the familiar every now and then, so that we don't get complacent. The great detective Sherlock Holmes was camping with his sidekick Watson, and they were lying in their sleeping bags, looking up at the starry sky. And Sherlock Holmes said to Watson, "Watson, what do you see?" And Watson says, "Well, astronomically, I can see the plough and a number of other star formations." He said, "Cosmologically, I'm convinced this is just part of a much greater universe. We can only see a fraction of the entirety of creation." He said, "And theologically, I'm just impressed with the God who made it all." And then he turned to Sherlock Holmes and said, "What do you see?" And he said, "I can see that someone's nicked our pen." Sometimes it's important to reframe things. And these words, for anybody who's been following Jesus for a while, will be so familiar that they'll need reframing. Because I want to help us understand what Paul meant these words to mean to the church at Colossae. I want us to understand how they were first read by those Colossian Christians. Because that's got a real help for us to understand them today. So to explain how they were first understood and how they were first intended, let me ask you, which country is depicted in these images? Okay, who's the leader who has just died? Some mumbling there. King Jong-un, and you can see his son there, Kim Jong the Second. Tell me about this country. What country is represented there? Whoa! Well, hey,
badly accused him. Okay. Now, the point of me putting those slides up that were there originally was to say that we have some nation states where the power of the leader is oppressive and dominant. If you have been following the news over Christmas, you'll see how the Russian people are just in uproar because of Putin's corruption and domination of his people. North Korea is terrifying when you see those huge demonstrations of mourning. The leader is everything. In Europe, it's a bit different. We haven't quite worked out who's in charge. If we are to understand the book of Colossians, we need to understand the first century of the Roman Empire. These words were written to a church in the Roman Empire, in a place called Colossae, around AD 60, in modern-day Turkey. And to live in a Roman Empire then was to be utterly surrounded with images of the emperor. If you walked down the street, there would be statues of the emperor. If you went to the library, there would be images of the emperor. If you went to the gymnasium, there would be images of the emperor. He would be his image would be in the temples of the different faiths. If you were to walk around the market or to go to the theatre, you would see the emperor's image everywhere. Do you know what? We found in excavation, I say we, I was never there, but people have found, they found images of the emperor painted onto the inside walls of people's houses. They found them on coins, they found them on jewellery, they found them in clay lamps where the candles burned. The image of the emperor was there. Do you know, they even found roof tiles imprinted with the image of the emperor. I mean, who's going to see those, for goodness sake? They were obsessed with the image of the Caesars. Kitchen utensils, furniture had the emperor's image on it, and we found it. Caesar's image was branded everywhere. Here are some of those images. And this all-pervading presence of the emperor was there for a reason, because it was a symbol of control. The popular belief was that peace and prosperity had come to the world through Caesar, Pax Romana. Their modern technology of roads, their military might, all led to the confidence that the Roman Empire was at the top and the Caesar was at the top of the top. And they made some extraordinary claims about them. We found the writings of people like Horace, who was one of the Roman poets. And he said these things about Caesar. Caesar has brought fertile crops to our fields. The emperor has wiped away our sins and revived the ancient virtues. The beginning of life and vitality, our Saviour, the Emperor, set all things in order. And over time, emperor worship became a way of controlling the Roman Empire. Because you had all these nations with all their different indigenous states, and the Roman Empire had the genius to say, you can carry on making your temples, you can carry on making your sacrifices, you can do all of those things as long as you just do one. Recognize that worship of the emperor. So it was a way not only symbolizing the might of Rome, but actually of controlling its people by saying, you can worship anybody you like as long as you continue to worship Caesar. He was the trump card of all religions. So that's the background into which these words were written. There was no one who could conduct business outside of the emperor cult. So many games and festivals. We had a few bank holidays. In the Roman Empire, they had 73, and they were all in order in honor of the Caesar. It was a big deal. Emperor worship dominated society. And empires are built on four things. You need to monopolize the power. You need to monopolize the markets, the trade. You need to monopolize the structures. And you need to grab the imagination. That was what was going on when Paul breaks these words. So can you imagine how these were written? Just as Rome wasn't built in a day, it wasn't going to be deconstructed. get what this is? That this is treason. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were made. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities. All things were made by Jesus for Jesus. And if they were made by Jesus for Jesus, guess who they were made by and for? Caesar. It's true. So everybody starts to believe something. Believe in it. What the ancient Jews. This is subverting everything that the Roman Empire tried to create. Who holds the universe together? Well, it ain't Caesar. It's Jesus. Jesus is the trumpet. And how does this empire begin? Not through military conquest, but by God dying on the cross. And how do you become a citizen in it? But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. And what are the benefits of being in this empire? To present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. This is an incredible counterculture statement to everybody who first read it. Can you see how when we read it and think nice thoughts about this Jesus who is Lord and keep us through 2012 and, oh yes, Jesus is my bodyguard and he's my saviour and he's my best friend, it's to completely miss the point of why this was written. Do you get that? Maybe not. Let's see as we go on. Because you see, even though that was done, my Paul doesn't stop there in Colossians. All this greatness of Jesus, look what he says next. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hold on. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he's the head of the body of the church, and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Oh, by the way, he lives in you. And just in case you thought that was a typo, he says it again. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. How can that be? That's extraordinary. So, rather than thinking all these blessed, thoughts of the day with Jesus through 2012, if we're to understand this passage properly, the first thing we need to understand is that we'll only ever begin to really understand it if we see that the church today is attractive to the empire and its first year or so. Let me say that again. You are attractive in an empire. Any one of those third century Christians. Remember that all empires are built on four things: a monopoly of power, of the markets, of structures, and imagination. The banking crisis, the debt crisis, and the euro crisis has brought home to each one of us what has been true for two-thirds worlds for decades, which is that the world is highly unfair and that there are monopolies of power that even governments can't control. We feel that injustice now, don't we? And the two-thirds world have been feeling it for decades. They would just say, at last you're waking up, join the club. And all of that is gripped, not just in a monopoly of markets and structures, but it's gripped in the myth. The myth of the Romans. Romano, peace in the world through massive destructive violence. The myth of material Western culture is the myth of progress, that infinite progress is always possible. How can that be in a finite world? It's not. It only ever happens if it's sanctified. So, what was Paul trying to do for the people of Colossae, and how does that help you and me discover what you need? The first thing, it starts with imagination. Paul Paul wanted them to reimagine something beyond the greatness of the empire and the emperor. He wanted them to have a renewed imagination, to believe that life didn't always have to be this way, and that there was a God who was more powerful, who was greater, who was ultimately in control, and it was he that would shape their imaginations and not their own empire. It all begins with our imagination. So what's captivating your imagination? The thousands who went shopping in the sales, because that's what you do in January, don't you? You go to the sales, irrespective of whether you need anything, irrespective of whether you can afford it. Anything. Because that's what we do. We go to the sales. It's about reimagining something better. For the millions who can't remember New Year's Eve because they fell asleep drunk, because that's what people do on New Year's Eve, don't they? They get drunk. Or worse, end up in A&E with one of the thousands and thousands of minor injuries that occur on A&E. It's about imagining something better. For the many in our community whose best friend is Jeremy Kyle, imagining something better than life glued to the TV, or the endless search for the internet for something that will create some kind of stimulation and interest. Imagining something better. Terry had a coffee with a woman last year, and she said these words to her. She said, "Are there any imagining something better?" Across all the classes and all the ages, this is true of all of us. There are people who will get on a commuter train tomorrow whose imagination is determined by how far they can get up the corporate ladder before they retire. Imagining something better. As one bitter ex-executive said, "I discovered that my corporation remembers its previous managers just about as long as water remembers the imprint of a hand." Here's the day of the world. We need a new imagination. And Christians so desperately need a new imagination about this Jesus that sometimes our sum of the total of our experience of Jesus is what we experience in here, as Joe was saying earlier. That's tragic. We've buried dead. And it was a very, very moving and powerful place. And as with every human, there comes to that moment of the eulogy where people try and sum up a person's life and the impact that he had on others in a few words. And, the thing is that it's an impossible task. But it doesn't matter, because everybody who's at that funeral is only there because that person touched their life. And they have treasured memories that they hold. And it doesn't matter what people say at the front, we're there because there's a shared experience. Church is supposed to be like funerals. Now, I need to be careful with that quote, but you see where I'm going. Church is supposed to be like a funeral, where the songs we sing are inadequate. The prayers we pray are inadequate. The preaching will always be inadequate. But it doesn't matter, because there's a shared experience which transcends it all. It's utterly, utterly beautiful and utterly, utterly compelling. That's what church is supposed to be. It doesn't matter if Joe and I and anybody else get up here and just talk God. Well, maybe it doesn't. But that may be non-efficient. By the way, we'll just go with the poetic life. But it's because there is this shared, rich experience that we live this life in. Do you know that one? Do you know this Jesus? Church is supposed to be like a funeral. Even amongst us this morning, there are many people who can't imagine that Jesus can genuinely and satisfied our deepest love. We're a Christian who follows, but we have not yet found him to be the complete answer to the issues and challenges we face. Yet this is the Jesus that Paul writes of here. The Jesus who wants to break out of our boxes, break out of those ideas that we have about him, which limit his effectiveness in our lives, which goes on to have joined up lives. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwelt in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. Can I please ask this morning, which bit of all didn't you get? All things, it's repeated all the way through the passage. Which bit of all didn't you get? Which part of our lives are not yet fully empowered by the life-giving spirit of Jesus Christ? Because he has reconciled all things. Which bit of our lives are not yet reconciled with him? What bit didn't you get? All things. You know, there are a bunch of warriors in the Middle Ages called the Franks, and they were great warriors, but some of them came to faith, and when they came to faith, they were baptized, but the only thing was, they kept their hand that they held their sword with, their right hand, they kept it out of the water when they were baptized. So they get baptized, fully immersed, and get their hand, because they didn't want to give up fighting, because they liked good scraps. Words of Horatius Bonar, who despite his name is another doctor. He wrote in here, so shall my heart day or night from sacredness be free, but all my life in every part be fellowship with thee. Join that voice in whom all. not kind or helpful. Joe Kerris is changing their lives. Anyway, where was I? Yeah. And
control.
And I just realized that actually nothing I can do. I don't know. And when he calls us to go into the world, he didn't give us endless regulations and instructions. He said, Emmanuel, God is. He that is not so great than he that is in the Jesus goes on. And that's not just a true name that he had the Indians say, but it's true of every single one of us as we go home. It's true of every single one of us as we go to our place of work. There's no regulations, but the Spirit of God breathes in us with all the power completely God to make all things possible. That's why Paul says, now he who is able to do immeasurably more than all you can ask or imagine, according to his power that is well within us. Can you see how this is wildly subversive? Can you see how familiar we are with our actions, such a power? So what's captivating our imagination at the moment? Allow Jesus to blow that up. As we think about reimagining our lives in 2012, not the way they've always been, but the way they could be with Jesus within us. And I think about being those mysterious reactors in whom Christ. I don't know about you, but I've listened to enough preachers to know that there is that you don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. But there was a story that I heard that is documented by people in this room who I love and trust. And I promise you, no word of this is the exact. Because on the 9th of July, 2010, a man contacted a Jerusalem, an Arab, I don't know which country he was in. He contacted a website and he said, I would like to know more about Jesus. And people in this room are part of organizations that help people connect with others when they make those kind of inquiries in the world. And so for a number of months, people correspond with this person, trying to help them to understand stuff. And then when they're really sure that they're not a security risk around the world, or they're a secret police somewhere, they send a face-to-face worker. Well, and the man contacted the website in July, face-to-face worker do this, we can reimagine our life.